Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Oh yeah, this can be easily edited, so no worries. One sec.
In the off chance he doesn't edit this out. Hello, Puckle. You're beautiful.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Goldenrod City Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle TCG Cast!
Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to Puckle TCG Cast. I am your host, Lord Yashiro, coming here to you live from the Goldenrod City, and it's been another month, and the TCG is just exploding with new materials that I'm super excited to talk about today. It is the review episode, the long-awaited and long-expected, because we've known of the set for months now. We were just waiting for the day to be able to talk about it in full. And that is the Sword and Shield set coming that has been released that we will now discuss and review it. Now, I'm not going to do this by myself, as I always do. I got two fine gentlemen with me, ready to discuss all things TCG. And that is, we shall start with, some say he once performed heart surgery on his own heart. It's Basket.
What's up, Buckle Peeps? Happy to be on the TCG Cast with my boy, Jashiro.
What's up, Basket? Thank you so much for being here. Super excited to talk about Sun and Moon. Wow. Sword and Shield. It's a slight missed up there. Not just with you, but also, some say that the opening scene to Saving Private Ryan is loosely based on a dodgeball game that he had in kindergarten. It's Sevilo.
I was a very fast kindergartner. So
I do not even question that. So guys, how have you been? It's been quite a while since I have you both in. I've had you a couple of times, but since my episode is monthly, it feels like it's been a long time since we last recorded. But it's really, for you listeners, it's just been a few episodes. But it's good to have you guys here. So as always, let's start with show. Just talking about updating us and what have we been doing. So Basket, what have you been up to?
Well, honestly, I've been continuing to try and rework the Vespaquin deck. Biggest
Ooh,
change.
I have to admire your dedication.
Well, you know what? It's easy to dedicate yourself to something that actually continually kind of works.
Oh, no. Please, I did not for one point started that as a sarcasm or as a hit. It was more of an actual, I admire the dedication you have to one deck. Because me, for example, I just get bored with decks. It's not that they get bad, it's just I get bored and I want to try the next one. But whoever perfects what they're playing always gets far.
Well,
so how's that going?
It's going pretty well. And, I mean, the easy reason why I'm, like, still so into that deck is that it was my first deck I ever learned to play with in the TCG.
Mm-hmm.
Or the first, competitive deck that I ever learned to play with in the TCG. And it's going pretty well. The biggest change that I made recently is I've taken out all of my Professor Sycamores, and I've thrown in all ends, actually, because
even though
it seems like it might be counterintuitive to the engine, I've kind of worked around with the cards to where really I have the best possible ways to grab exactly what I need when I need it. Right. So being able to have the item cards still in the deck is pretty trainer cards, items and supporters, is pretty useful to me. So I have a pretty good engine where I can grab most of the time whatever I need. So yeah, ends have just been helping me to keep that consistency.
As we've always said on the show, consistency is key. If you manage to get your deck consistent, then you're already halfway of having a great deck. If not already 75% on your way to have a great deck. What about you, Sephyla? What have you been up to, buddy? I know you've been really into it. I love it.
Well, I've been trying to get my stuff to do that exact consistency thing, mm-hmm. which it causes me physical pain to say this almost. Dark Box sucks.
Ooh, it really Sublime does. Is gonna transport itself wherever he is right now.
It's okay.
Puff there's, into reality and punch you in the
there's
face.
There's hope. There is hope. We're gonna be going over this in a little bit, but yeah, like for general performance, mm-hmm. I might have fun with it a little bit. But if you want to actually win, guys, Dark Box sucks. It's so bad. Oh my god. But other than that, I've been trying to just wrap my head around how this set changes things. Like, maybe it makes Dark Box good, but we've said that since Dark Box existed, so this won't be any different at all.
Right, right. So, especially since the focus of the set has been elsewhere completely and not in Dark at all.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little bit all over the place. Each thing mm-hmm. gets a cool little buff, and a couple things get cool little nerfs. Part of that is just the big, ugly, nasty elephant in the room that there's finally a big rule change that has gone through,
which we'll definitely discuss for sure.
We're going to be going over that because that changes a lot of how these cards work. So
yeah, big rule change happened in TCG. Big sets are coming out, so let's go ahead and jump into I haven't said what I've been up to. I've been playing a lot of VGC. If you guys listened to the main show this week, you saw that I was in and I talked about how I am working through my VGC. Now, my TCG, I am going to be honest, I need to keep up once again, because since I stopped streaming, I kind of have not kept up with my library, so all my decks are kind of outdated. But soon to come, I will definitely update all my decks. But I have, however, been keeping up with the meta and what's going on. So that's what we're going to be covering in that aspect. So let's go ahead and just jump right in. Grab your towels, your flip-flops, and your sunglasses, because we're headed to Topical Beach right after this small message from Sir Vilo about the ramen.
Yum.
Hey guys, Seth Vilo cutting in to tell you about something awesome that I've been absolutely loving, Vite Ramen. If you guys know me, you know I have a borderline noodle addiction, and part of that love has always been a guilty pleasure for ramen. Well, Vite Ramen is ramen, but get this, it's actually good for you. You heard me right. The guys at Vite Ramen have spent years making ramen that's nutritionally complete, and I absolutely adore it. Each bowl has 30 grams of protein, which is more than your average protein shake, 7 grams of fiber, all 27 key vitamins and minerals that you need, and most importantly, tons of awesome flavor. Oh yeah, and did I mention it still only takes 4 minutes to prepare? It's basically still instant ramen. You can head over to viteramen.com and pick up soy sauce chicken, garlic pork, and my favorite, vegan miso flavors, as well as handy utensils and other such stuff. And here is the coolest part. At checkout, enter code PUCKLE, and you'll get 10% off your entire order. That's PUCL, all caps, for a whopping 10% off. Anyway, I gotta get back to raiding, and you've got a show to finish. Catch you guys on the flip-flop.
Grab your ice-cold Corsola Cola and pull up a chair. It's time for Tropical Beach.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, and as I always mess this up, you will feel the sun in your eyes, the wind in your face, and the sand under your feet. It is Tropical Beach. We will discuss all things TCG, but in this episode, we are going to talk about the set review for Sword and Shield is going to finally drop February 7th. So pretty soon you will be able to play with these cards. I mean, you already have them probably because the pre-releases has all been around. But officially there will be release on the 7th. So lots to discuss. Way too many cards. Let's go straight up and start this baby up real quick. So I always start, but you know what? I'm feeling kind of lucky. I'm going to say, Seth Vilo, you start this time. What's your first one?
My first one, I'm just going to start with what is going to be the most impactful. We each picked a couple that we liked best.
Yeah, thank you, Seth Vilo. I didn't explain. Reviews as they are, we each pick five cards. Doesn't necessarily mean there are five cards, but at least five things that we love about the new set, and we discuss them here. So these are our five things. Continue on.
Yep. Before I do that, too, we mentioned there's that rule change does kind of affect how things landed on our rankings and which cards we picked a little bit. So that rule change, if you are going first, like you are the first player to do actions, you cannot play a supporter card on your first turn.
Think
of it the same way as attacking. You can't attack on your first turn. You also cannot play a supporter card on your first turn if you go first. If you go second, game on. You can attack. You can play a supporter. But first player going first cannot play a supporter. That's a big thing. So,
let's discuss that for a little second. That is a very interesting rule change. One that I concur with, honestly. But why do you think that they took this initiative to make this an official rule where we no longer, what must have been the tipping point for them? Was it because they have to ban Shiftry from, expansion because on turn one, he would completely win the game if he's able to pull a card, your active Pokemon back into your hand? Was it the Forest of Giant Plants? What is this decision to make supporters illegal now in the first turn?
Well, I don't know, because I think it's stupid. I think they should have. I think they should just ban the few cards that can, use this exploit.
Right.
Because, to be completely honest, I can't tell you how many times I have gotten my first hand that is nothing but crap, and I need to ditch those cards as soon as possible. Right. And if I have to wait an entire hand, an entire turn, that's going to just completely screw me over. It's made a situation where now, I have to go second, and that's not conducive to an offensive presence, really.
Okay, what about you, Seth?
I think that this is a great thing, because if you look at the bans in Expanded for what they've been doing there, they've been doing that approach that you were talking about, Basket, where they ban the cards that are a problem. The problem is they keep printing cards that are a problem. So,
but see, that's their fault. They
right,
need to think
but they're
about
cool
the
mechanics
games before they do it.
They're cool mechanics that can be used at different points during the game, but a lot of those cards prevented your opponent from doing anything before they even had their first turn. And that's what they're trying to avoid, is basically ending the game having that Shiftry effect where it's not donking, but it's like you have no cards in your hand now. So enjoy. I hope that top card is what you wanted, because I've played supporters that allow me to do that kind of thing. Miss Magis was a big thing that dropped you low so you could play a bunch more. Like, they're print cards that allow you to do cool stuff because it's cool and it's not that big of a cost. It's going to change how we build decks, 100%. Like, now there's going to be a lot more items that you just play, do the effect, possibly thin your hand like you were talking about, Basket. We're going to hit on a card later on that does exactly that first turn. There's that new Rotom bike that we're not going to mention because, quite frankly, it sucks, but it's an option.
That's the one that does the six, you draw up to six, but then you earn your turn.
Yeah. And I'm personally, for one, welcome our new significantly less welder world. So that's just me.
That is fair. Welder was one of those supporters that it hurt when it was used on turn one. Same as, who's no longer viable, but what's the fire gym? Well, not gym leader. The fire from Sun and Moon. Oh.
Kiawe,
right? A turn one Kiawe is always so devastating.
But that ended your turn. This also draws you three cards. It's having a Mewtwo sit in front of you with six fire energy on it.
Yeah.
Turn two, no. 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 So
it
anyway.
It is pretty ridiculous. Now, I am kind of in the middle of you guys, which I know is kind of really
what? We cover the board? That's crazy.
Because I do understand both sides of the argument, right? What is worth being first place if you can't play a supporter card? Now, that question obviously is easily answered. There's a million things that you could do, but those things are no longer included to be a supporter. So what's the value of starting now first if you aren't able to attack nor use supporters? That's where I'm kind of iffy on. However, I do recognize that there are some supporters that are just ridiculous to have on turn one. Wally was one of them that, it, for the longest time, Wally was ridiculous. You turn one evolution to whatever the next stage was, and many Pokemon only really needed that one stage. And then suddenly, you had a Trevenant in turn one, and you couldn't use any items for the rest of the game. There's some things that really do need some balancing in the game. My alternative and how I would have handled this is for those cards deemed too powerful to be used on turn one, just write it on the card. Can't use this supporter on turn one. That's what I would have preferred. However, I know that that requires more of the Pokemon team to know when or suspect or errata cards after the fact, after they thought maybe, oh, this wouldn't be an issue, and then suddenly someone figured out that, yeah, it is an issue. Then you errata it. But that's more work to them. So the easier thing is to say no supporters on turn one. Yeah. So I understand both sides, so I'm in the middle on this.
I know this is going to sound really harsh, and I mean this with the best of love, but I think they just need to either A, have better playtesters, or B, allow the playtesters enough time to actually like find these issues.
Yeah.
So that those cards aren't made. That's my personal like outlook on this. I think that taking that away really neuters the person who goes first. And
although, let us also remember though that the person who goes first chooses whether he goes first and last after he's drawn all of his cards and he knows what he has, right? No, right, that's before.
No, sorry.
Before you flip. So additionally, yeah, you have to choose. So
additionally, it's just the winner of the coin toss. If you choose to go second, then it's just the other person who goes first. So the same issue.
You have to know your deck. You have to know your deck and know whether or not.
And you have to build your deck to adapt to this change.
You have to know your deck. Yeah.
Right, but what I'm saying is like it was. I mean, the obvious reasons for going first in the beginning, being able to like that coin toss. I don't know. The coin toss was a very important part because you were able to lay your first basic down, and the next turn, if you had it, you know, evolve it or put or do whatever you needed to do. It was like winning the first coin toss. You were ahead of the game. Mm-hmm. It gave you a better advantage, and now that advantage is significantly nerfed. And I don't know. I think that it limits how you can play and how you build your deck. And I can see it from the point of it being like, oh, that's just interesting. It'll be a lot more. It'll be fun to try and figure out how this new mechanic works, but I feel like it'll be limiting. And I'll shut up there.
Nope, there we go. And you'll have the last word on that one because we're going to move on to what is the cream of the crop and what we are wanting to discuss, and that is the Sword and Shield set review. So, Sevilo, once again, with that, you start.
So I'm going to start with a supporter, because even though I'm going first, I can still play supporters on my first turn. And I picked Marnie, because do you like N? Do you like confusing your opponent and messing up their hand and putting it back? Then Marnie's the card for you. Its effect is you shuffle your hand and put it on the bottom of your deck.
Yep.
Again, put it on the bottom. Do not shuffle
in. Yeah,
you will get a game loss. You will be punished. Do not shuffle it into your deck. Put it on the bottom. You, the player of Marnie, draw 5 cards. Your opponent draws 4. So it's disruption. It's seeing a brand new hand, which is in, you know, for better or for worse, you see none of the cards you had in your last hand, because they're all on the bottom. Yep. So you get rid of some garbage. If you had three rare candies on turn, whatever turn you played Marnie, and you don't want to see those right now, you need to see basics, you put all of them on the bottom. You can find those later. And it's awesome, and it disrupts your opponent. It puts them at four instead of at five, like you. So it's kind of like a miniature N. You can't N them down to one, but you can Marnie them down to four, and that's incredibly disrupting, especially if they've been building up a big hand. So that's my biggest one.
Now, Marnie is a great supporter card. Anything that allows you to disrupt your opponent, making them get rid of their hand and to grab new hand, is an incredibly powerful thing to do. Being able to draw five and then four, also great. Overall, I really like Marnie, and I'm sure that Marnie's going to be at least a one-off in each deck.
Her full art's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah, what about so you, Basket?
I mean, I agree. This is a great card. The fact that, like Seth Vile said, you know, that you can throw them at the bottom of your deck, that's awesome, because I can't tell you how many times with physical cards I've shuffled my deck and drawn at least three of the same cards that I had. You know, and I mean, normally those are cards. I mean, obviously that happens because I've got, you know, four of those cards.
Yeah. Or because you shuffled and just happens that they land them.
I don't need these Pokemon. Right. Yeah. I need the Pokemon.
Exactly, but you're putting yourself in the same percentage game by shuffling them in there and trying to draw another seven. And this way, the percentages are in your favor.
Yep. And at the same time, if your opponent has a good hand, you're making him put that good hand in the bottom of his deck and not letting him shuffle. So exactly. You're detrimenting him where if he had a good hand, now he's suddenly super frustrated because what he really needed is now in the bottom of his deck. Mm-hmm. So overall, Cefalo, what do you call it?
Obviously super effective. Super Marnie effective is the best. As well.
Mm-hmm. Basket.
Super effective.
There you go. First card of the set. Super effective across the board.
Gonna
Marnie,
get a lot of those.
Wife material right there, wife material right there, has now become a great, excellent TCG card, and I am very happy about that. Basket, what's your first card?
Alright, so my first card is the sweet, sweet Ice Queen, Frostmoth.
Ooh.
So, no surprise to anybody, it evolves from Snom. It's a water Pokemon, HP 90, ability Ice Dance. As often as you like during your turn, before your attack, you may attach a water energy card from your hand to one of your benched water Pokemon. Weakness, metal, resistance is none, retreat costs 2. We don't care about Aura Beam that does 30 damage for water and a colorless.
That's such a good card. That's such a good card in text. What do you think about it, though, Basket? What's your 2 cents on it?
Well, for me, I think it is contributing to what I like to call Waterbox Light, where basically you've got all these different cards that synergize it. For instance, you have Keldeo V with its attack Sacred Sword, which is 50 damage for each water energy attached to it. And obviously, more water energy equals more attack power in this scenario. So being able to attach that on the bench in a safe situation and then switch that bad boy up there is super, super helpful. Lapras, it's got Wave Back for a colorless where you can attach one water energy from your hand to the Pokemon.
Oh, yeah,
then
yeah, yeah.
Switch this Pokemon with one of your benched Pokemon.
Yep, and the VMAX will be discussed soon. That's great synergy with that, too.
And the Palkia GX, both attacks synergize really well. Spatial...
All three.
Oh, I missed the third one, I guess.
Go ahead with the okay, first two. I'll tell you the third one. It's a surprise for later.
So, Spatial Control for one water. Move any number of water energy from this bench Pokemon... Move any number of water energy from the bench to this Pokemon, which is just great. And then Hydro Pressure is 60 plus 20 for every additional water energy attached.
Yeah. And now the third attack on Palkia, which is the reason you run it in this deck in the first place. No. But no, wait, there's more. You get two ShamWows.
Bury the lead on this one.
Zero Vanish. Zero Vanish is the reason you run Palkia, and it is five energy, three of which are water. Shuffle all energy from each of your opponent's Pokemon into their deck. They're gone. All of them.
All of them.
It also does 150 damage, but Disruption is the name of the game. Also, that Lapras V has an attack for four damage, for four energies that does 210 damage. The VMAX has an attack for three colorless. GMAX Pump does 90 base, 30 more for each water energy attached. So technically an infinite damage cap.
So as we know, we've seen this before. It's called Rain Dance Blastoise.
Mm-hmm.
We see it now in a stage one instead of stage two. So if you have something that we've known for a while how awesome it is, but now it's easier to access it, how can you say it's a bad card? It is wonderful. However, it does have its low things. 90 HP, really easy to kill with mostly everything that attacks nowadays, minus obviously baby Pokemon, or when I say basic, I meant basic, non-evolved. A Pokemon that evolved that hasn't evolved, those might not knock out Frostmoss, but anything else that has any offensive capabilities could do 90 damage with no problem. However, it is non-GX, so that means that your opponent only gets one prize. So with that, that is good. So I really like it. What about you, Cephilo?
I think it's great. As I'm kind of gushing about it a little bit, I'm building a Frostmoth deck, but it's fun. It's cool. It has its quirks. It has its negatives, but it's still an incredibly strong card, and it makes Water Box playable again, especially when you have a vehicle like Lapras and Keldeo coming out of this set.
I am so excited that Frostmoth is relevant because I love its design, and I've just been so upset that it is so completely irrelevant in VGC and singles.
Yep. I can totally feel that.
It's such a pretty Pokemon, such a cool design.
It is. It was one of those Pokemon when I first saw it, I had so much high hopes for it. We're like, oh, that's a cute Pokemon, great bug, because also bugs are, for me, personal opinion here, warning, bugs are my least favorite type, like the good lass that I am. So anything that can help bug type always, and Frostmoth helped it a lot. I love Frostmoth, but turned out to be not that good. However, it's great that TCG is a good card. So Basket, final call.
Super effective.
There you go. Super effective for me as well. Seth, what about you?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm building a deck out of it. Super effective.
Awesome. Super effective it is. That is Frostmoth. Super effective. Good in the TCG, even though it's bad in the VGC. So there's life in good old Frostmoth still. Now it's my turn, ladies and gents, and I'm, like always, well, not like always, but usually, I'm going to go ahead and break the rules a little bit by adding a three-parter in one. And that is, my first one is the Inteleon family, which has a lot going for it. Now, we start out with, there's multiple, we will start with the basic, which is Sobble at 60 HP, nothing to write home about. Great Pokemon that you can search with other cards. However, when it evolves is when things start getting a little bit exciting. Number one, we got Drizzly. And again, guys, I'm still getting used to these new Sword and Shield names. If I'm pronouncing them wrong, I'm allowing Basket and Seth to jump in and just let me know how this is, because I'm going to murder each of one of these names.
I think it's Drizzile.
Drizzile, thank you. So Drizzile, with an HP of 90, when it evolves, has a great ability. Shady Business. When you play this card from your hand to evolve one of your Pokemon during your turn, you may search your deck for one trainer card, reveal it, and put it into your hand. Its attack is 30 damage for a couple of energies, but its weakness to lightning, resistance to none, and retreat cost of one. Now, there, we have great possibilities with a card that allows you to search for any training course that you need, supporter, item, or otherwise, doesn't matter. But when it evolves one more time into...
But wait, there's more!
Yep, there's more when it evolves one more time into Inteleon, thank you. Into Inteleon, with a HP of 160, it gains Shady Dealings, which does when you play this card from your hand, you may search your deck for two trainer cards, reveal them, and put them into your bench, and its attack is not half bad for one water or less, one card or less, water, aqua bullet. 120, and this attack also does 20 damage to one of your opponent's bench Pokemon. Weakness to lightning, resistance to none, retreat cost of one. Love this family line. It kind of reminds me of Crobat, but instead of damage, it is draw support. Or not draw support, search engine. Sorry, is what I meant to say.
To be specific, it's you can reveal them and put them in your hand, not on your bench.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I said bench?
Yeah. Can't put trainers there.
I can't put trainers on your bench. I apologize. I was reading off the top. What I meant is you put you into your hand or trainer cards. It is like Crobat, but instead of damage, is draw support or search engine where you can get the trainer cards that you need. We already saw how powerful this is. Everyone used to play Double Team. Double Team, was it part of...
Alolan Ninetales GX is one of them.
Yes.
That had this exact teammates. Thing, except it was items.
Exactly. Teammates, the supporter card, used to do this. If one of your Pokemon would be knocked out on the previous turn, you are able to search your deck for two trainer cards. Same thing. Everyone used to play Teammates because of how powerful it is. This is that powerful, with the caveat of that you have to evolve this. The opponent will see this coming, obviously. All of that. But still, powerful, powerful search engine. What about you, Sevilo? What do you think?
I think it's okay. There are better ways to find trainers. There are worse ways to find trainers. I think this is a cool thing that could be teched into places, especially when we get things like the their respective VMAXs next set in, May-ish?
Yeah.
So that'll be cool then when you already are playing... Well, no, you're not, because the VMAXs are basic. Forget me. But still, this is a cool way to find trainers for things that need them and might or might not play water energy. It's kind of cool.
Okay, what about you, Basket?
I love the abilities, and they do combo well with each other. I find it hard to believe that they will be used in that way to any real effect, only because it is a lot of deck space and a lot of work to get that going. But if something comes along that helps this out to like work in a quicker fashion, then for sure, like, this is going to be a top card. But for right now, for me, it's kind of meh.
That's understandable.
I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
Anyone here in this set, in this podcast, can be absolutely wrong. All of your acknowledges, I do accept. However, we do have that this is a powerful search engine. You only need to evolve it first into Drisile, and you already get a trainer card, right? So what does this do to every deck? Add a lot of consistency. Mm-hmm. If you start with, two Sobble, by next turn, if you're able to get the other two cards, you have two more trainer cards that you can evolve. The question is, what do you pair this with? That is where I agree that it's kind of like, where does this belong? Because right now, water decks are pretty toolboxy as they are. So how much is having a water Pokemon that's able to get any trainer cards be good at water toolbox? That's where it might be that we're just giving more water to someone who's already not thirsty. That's the key. of it. So whether or not this makes a change in water, if this would have been absolutely any other type, I would have said this does a lot more. But being water, we already have so many ways of getting what we want from water decks that it's, I don't know how much this will do. So with that being said, I do still think, because the ability of a search engine and its consistency, I still think it's super effective. What about you, Seth?
I would say effective, leaning not very effective.
There we go. And what about you, Basket?
I I'm going to say not very effective.
Okay. There you go, guys. With the first card from the set, which mixed reviews. We got one super effective, and one not very effective for good old Subble and family. Let's see how else we progress. Now, Sevilo, what's your second card?
You got it. My baby. Can't go without talking about this guy. It's Sableye V.
Ha! I knew this was come.
That's the reason I'm on this podcast, is to gush about a good Sableye card. I'm so happy that my baby finally gets an okay-ish kind of card. So we've got Sableye V. It's got 170 hit points. It's got a first attack for one dark. It's in some translations, it's looking for veins. I think it's like
or search in English. Yeah,
or something like that. Or search, put a trainer card from your discard pile into your hand.
Oof.
Okay, kind of sucks as an attack, but it's cool if you need that custom
I wish it was an ability so bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Junk Hunt, except it's trainer, not item.
Yeah.
But that's not why you play it. You play it for Crazy Claw, its second attack. Two dark energy.
I have to say, Wicked Claw in English.
Yeah, I think it's crazy.
Really? I'm at the English set list.
You're at Poke Beach, and they still kind of use romanization. So
how dare they? Okay, yeah, cool. Sorry to interrupt, sir. Continue on.
You're good. No worries. but yeah, Crazy Claw, I'm almost positive. This attack does 60 more damage. It does 10 base. It does 60 more damage for each damage counter on your opponent's active.
Oof. Ouch.
Which is nuts. That is a huge number. If you can drop a couple damage counters on something, like say you throw in Mew, the Mew that drops 3 damage counters on something. So you do 3 damage. It's got 30 damage. 3 times 6 is 180, plus the 10 base is 190, plus the 30 damage that it already had on top of it is 220. Just from 3 damage counters, tops. So you crank that up with dropping even more counters or doing a lot of base or spread damage, and you can have this thing go through the roof and take out all these VMAXs that have upwards of 300 HP. If you have 5 or 6, I'm still learning this quick math, you have 5 or 6 damage counters on something, nothing survives. That's just the end. So how do you put damage counters on stuff? Well, something else that came out in this set that looks like it was made to be paired with it, and I'm kind of cheating here, but this isn't notable enough to do its own thing, so I'm going to talk about Obstagoon. It's part of the Galarian Zigzagoon family. It has an ability that when you evolve it, you drop 3 damage counters on something. So that's one way to spread. It's Zigzagoon form. When you drop it to your bench, it does 10 damage to something. So you're starting to see where this is all going. You do a lot of spread damage with the Obstagoon and then destroy something out of nowhere with the Sableye. Obstagoon's good too. It's got Obstruct as an attack. During your opponent's next turn, prevent all damage done to this Pokemon by attacks from basics. It does 90 damage. Yeah, especially now that we've got confirmation that all of the V cards except the V maxes are basic.
Mm-hmm.
So, Obstruct can just end a game. You're up against a Zacian that doesn't play anything but basics. If you get an Obstagoon out, game over.
Wow. That is an amazing ability. Both. Well, the attacks on the Sableye and the abilities on the Obstagoon basket. What are you two cents about this?
I mean, I'm right there with Seth. Honestly, I made myself a, what was the old Sableye deck? It was like the Treasure Hunter?
Junk Hunt.
Junk Hunt, yeah. I made a deck just because I love Sableye to do Junk Hunt, even when it wasn't even relevant anymore.
My brother.
I couldn't play it anywhere and have any success, and I just wanted the cards and the deck because it worked at one point.
I really like the weakness to grass. Out of nowhere, this thing's weak to grass. And who's playing grass right now?
Me.
And expanded. Yes, however, other than that, no one's playing grass right now. And until probably next set. Yeah, sorry.
I do love that though with the bug switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. Yes. And they added poison type to dark.
I love that so much. Yeah,
I really like that. So Sableye does have a lot of possibilities of being really, really hardcore. So Sevilo, what do you give this card?
Super duper effective.
Both of them for Thagoon and Sableye?
Oh yeah, for both of them.
There we go.
They aren't going to be like in every deck, but they're good.
No, yeah, these are cards where you would work, you would construct a deck around them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is also valid. I will also give her a super effective to both. What about you, Basket?
I'm gonna say super effective as well. That's because screw anybody that says different.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell them what for.
Okay, so after we successfully threaten our audience to agree with us, we will move on to Sevilo's second choice. I'm sorry, Basket's second choice.
All right. So, my second choice.
I mean, second choice, but not necessarily because that's your top two.
Right, right. So, Zacian V.
The legendary.
The queen herself.
So, it is a steel-type Pokemon. It has 220 HP. It's a basic ability, Intrepid Sword. Once during your turn, you may look at the top three cards of your deck and attach any number of metal energy cards you find there to this Pokemon. Put the other cards into your hand. If you use this ability, your turn ends.
Ouch.
The only attack is Brave Blade for 3 metal energy. Does 230 damage. During your next turn, this Pokemon can't attack.
Ooh, really interesting damage, 230. I would say in the last set or in the last format, that 230 was pretty hardcore. In this set, it's difficult to say with such high HP creep. But overall, Basket, what is your analysis on this one?
Well, I like how accurate this is to singles, where if you're going to beat a Zacian, you bring a Zacian. Because it can do the 230, and it's only got 220 HP, so I like the little tie-in there. Also with Metal Saucer, which allows you to attach a metal energy card from your discard pile to one of your benched metal Pokemon. It makes it easier to light this big boy on fire, and since it's an item card, if you have multiple of them, you can play them in succession.
Yeah.
I think that this is a real heavy hitter. It's super cool.
Awesome. Metal Saucer is an amazing... I mean, Metal Saucer is just Aqua Patch or Dark Patch. Once again, reprinted, but in a different energy type. So that's an automatic super effective, no matter how you look at that. But Seth, what are you 20 cents on Zacian V?
Ladies and gentlemen, meet the king of Sword and Shield TCG.
Ooh, wow.
This is the best card, as far as Pokemon go, of the set. It is incredibly dangerous. It can power itself up with its ability early turns, yeah, where you have a lot of stuff that you just want to draw in the first place. It can be partnered with either or both of ADP, Arceus Dialgopalkia, or Lucario Melmetal. It can take advantage of both of the permanent effects of their GX attacks. So 230 stinks, right? What about 260?
Much better.
And what about taking an extra prize with that? ADP does that. So you play this with that, get that GX attack first out. Zacian goes to town with it being on the bench and ADP being active. Metal Saucer it from there and just go to town. You can even use the Vitality Band to add that extra 10 to bring you up to 270 and hit Mewtwo numbers and take 4 prizes off of it. And I've been starting to see this thing played as a one-of in decks that have nothing to do with metal energy because of that ability. When you are starting off a game, you're going to be slow, especially because the supporter rule is now in effect. You just need to draw cards. You just need to find your combo pieces to get ready to do your stuff. Intrepid Sword might as well, in those situations, read, draw 3 cards, your turn ends. That's all.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah, plus... I mean, there's been plenty of cards that are played as basics that, like, because this one, it only has, your opponent only gets 2 prize cards, right?
Correct.
Which, and there's been plenty of GX and EX Pokemon that you use purely for their ability.
Yeah.
That that give two cards away. You're just keeping them on the bench or wherever is safe in order to continue to do that. But this one can kick back, too. So it's pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to rate it effective before I heard Seth and reminded me of cards like Lucario and Melto and all the wonderful combos that it can have with other metal Pokemon.
You can combine it with Frying Pan, with that metal shield barrier.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Things like that to get rid of its weakness.
There's so much support for metal. Counters.
Yeah, this is the best Pokemon of the set.
Yeah, I have to agree. It definitely is. So, Seth, you give it away.
Absolutely. Super effective. 100%.
Super effective. Super effective from me as well. And Basket.
Super
there
effective.
There you go. Sassian V. The first legendary from Sword and Shield. We have to give it a super effective because it's that good. Now I'm going to move on to the next one. Who has it now? Is it my turn?
Yes.
It is my turn. Let's go ahead and have a fun time with a returning card that I wasn't expecting to see again. And that is Professor Kukui. No, wait. Professor Sycamore. No, wait. Juniper. No. It is now Professor's Research. So Pokemon TCG did something interesting here. We have, for a lot of years, had Professor cards. These Professor cards mostly stayed the same, with the exception to Kukui, for example, who did something completely different. And that is, you would discard your hand and draw 7 cards. It's been a tradition in the TCG for years to come, and now, ladies and gentlemen, they finally did what they should have done years ago, and that is, instead of having Professor something and then having to errata it or reprint it to some different name, they just have Professor's Research, and then they can change the art to whatever the professor is at the time. Professor's Research does the same thing you would expect from Sycamore or from Juniper. You discard your hand and you draw 7 cards. We've been missing this for over a year, and honestly, I'm kind of glad it's back. It is a great way of getting the cards that you need. It's a great draw support. It is a powerful card that we've known that is good, and it's just great to have it back. And Professor Research does that. So I'm going to go ahead and throw it out to, let's start first with Zavilo. What do you think?
I am tickled to have this back because even though discarding sucks sometimes, you got to do it in order to win.
Yep,
and
exactly.
That's good. Some decks like it, like Malamar and Mewtwo like it. And they're happy to see things go to the discard pile. Yeah. Other decks
let
just
me,
need to see cards.
Add there, yeah, that a tip for new inspiring players out there for the TCG, do not be afraid of discarding. Sometimes it is absolutely necessary for you to win. Do not hesitate to throw things into the discard pile. Continue on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely that. And another thing about it is they have come out and confirmed that cards that have this effect, supporter cards that have this effect in the future, will all be called Professor's Research mm-hmm. with just the name of the professor. They're all the same legality. So in 3 years, when Professor Sassafras has a card that has the same effect, you can still play your Professor Magnolia Professor's Research because the name of the card remains the same. Now, keep in mind, this does not reset legality of Juniper and Sycamore. They are differently named cards. They have the same effect. But from here going forward, you can use this. So get your Rainbow Rare set now because they have Rainbow Rare trainers now.
This will be here for a long time. This whole card is designed for long standing. Basket, what do you think?
Do we even need to rate this card?
No.
No. I mean, it's just super effective across the board because it's just...
It's good.
It's just been around for so long. Everybody who plays the TCG knows how important and how good this card is. It's going to be a one of in
exactly.
every single
Go ahead and spend the money and just buy the 4 now because you'll be using them for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Super effective across the road. We don't have to say it. Basket said it for us. This is what this card is. So let's go on and immediately move on to the next one. Zavilo, what's your third card?
You know, another thing that we've been missing is reliable Pokemon recovery.
Mm.
And have I got a deal for you?
No,
I've got this little old fishing rod. I'd describe it as an ordinary rod, which is the name of the card. And It has... I'm going to get the English wrong on it because they kind of changed the formatting when they go to the English one, and I don't have one sitting in front of me, unfortunately. I didn't pull one at a pre-release. So sad. So, shuffle up to 2 Pokemon and up to 2 basic energy cards from your discard pile into your deck. Unlike Super Rod, it's not either,
either
or.
Exactly.
Or,
it's not
or whatever.
Either.
You can choose. You can have a lot of options here. So, you can shuffle up to 2 Pokemon. If you have a Pokemon in your discard pile that you don't want back in your deck, you teched it in, you got rid of it, Super Rod forced you to shuffle it back in because it's public knowledge that it's in your discard. Right. This says up to. You can shuffle 0 Pokemon back in if you wanted to get rid of them. That's for you, Basket, and your Vespiquen. It's also up to 2 basic energy. So it, you can shuffle up to 4 cards back into your deck with this card alone. 2 energies and 2 Pokemon.
Ordinary Rod.
Right.
When previous rods did so much less than this.
And they were called Super. I don't know.
And they were called Super. Exactly.
This one's just modest.
Yeah, exactly. It's the modest rod.
It's
that should have been the
so
name.
So yeah, best recovery card we have, and the fact that it's an item, well, best item recovery card. We have,
yeah,
Rock
I have
Ritz
nothing
still,
to add, Basket.
It's just a great card. I mean, the. I'm sorry, I'm sputtering because it's that good, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, basically. Being able to pull out, essentially, like, it only can't do trainers. That's
yep.
it, period.
Yep.
It's any other cards you want in your discard pile, you can just throw in. And that's amazing. It's so helpful. And yes, it's only basic energy cards. But, I mean, right now, the format is, like, I mean, I know there's triple energy people are using right now. But, I mean, basic is normally how people play.
Yep.
So it's just super helpful right now. And the fact that, you know, everything's a big basic or has been for a while, it's unbelievably good in the current meta. And more than likely, it's going to be very relevant in every upcoming meta that it's in.
It's a one of in everything.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So with that, I would say super effective on all three.
Yep.
There we go.
Yeah.
Super effective for Ordinary Rod, which
Super
really,
Ordinary Rod.
It's being really modest here. It should be Gold, the Platinum Rod, or something, because it's pretty freaking amazing. Now, moving on to the next one. What is your third choice, my boy Basket?
All right. For number 3, we have Quick Ball.
Ooh. Yes, I'm excited for this one.
It's a trainer card, and it's an item. You must discard 1 card from your hand in order to play this card. Search your deck for a basic Pokemon, reveal it, and put it into your hand. Then shuffle your deck.
Do we have to say more?
No.
Do we, Seth, do you have something to add?
This is Dedenne turn 1.
Yeah.
Dedenne this turn is 4 1. Chances to have a quote-unquote supporter on your first turn. This is a 4 of in everything.
Yeah.
Get your Quick Balls now. And if you like old school, they eroded the old ones from things like Arceus set that have a totally different effect. They eroded those. You can use the old Quick Ball.
Oh, I love it when they do this. Power to the people. Awesome. Quick Ball. Super effective across the board once again. An amazing,
yeah.
powerful item card. Nothing else to say there. So let's go ahead and move on to
right?
the next one. I mean, if I would add something, I would literally be forcing myself to just add fluff. Because there's
yeah.
nothing to it. It's just that good. Period.
You need to get Pokemon out on the field in order to play, and this does that.
Yeah. And, exactly. And but one item that might be in the same field is Air Balloon, which is my next card that I'm going to choose from this set. It's an item card. We all know about Air Balloon in the VGC. It's the one item that lets you prevent from... it makes you immune from ground moves until you're hit. Then it pops and you're back into the ground. And the TCG, however, has a slight different thing going for it. It's a tool which allows you to... The retreat cost of the Pokemon discarded to touch you is 2 colorless less. Sorry, got confused there with the wording. So basically, Skateboard without the status effect advantage is what this is. However, still incredibly powerful if you're able to retreat anything with two colorless less. That pretty much means that almost everything is free to retreat except those that are three or more. Powerful item. I love it. Had to choose as one of my cards. Let's throw it to Basket this time around. Basket, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing card. Floatstone was an amazing card. And it was, you know, it was a lot better than Air Balloon, yeah. But just the ability to be able to pull out a Pokemon for free, it's huge. It's a huge advantage to you and in a lot of situations. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a really good card. Yeah, it's a nerfed Floatstone, but it's still great.
I agree. What about you, Seth?
Allow me to take this moment to remind our players that Dawnwing's Necrozma with the invasion ability is still legal and has 2 retreat cost.
There we go. Nothing else to say. You can throw that baby in. It will jump in whenever you need them and retreat whenever you do need them as well. At no cost to you. Whatever allows you to make your Pokemon be less restrictive to what in the position they're in, automatically, it's just such a powerful card. Again, we still have Skateboard, right, in the meta, and Skateboard is pretty powerful. It allows you to do exactly the same thing. Well, minus one colorless, it's only one instead of two, but it allows you to do status effects, which is something that Air Balloon doesn't allow you. So if you have your Jirachi with an Air Balloon and he falls asleep, you won't be able to retreat that. That's the disadvantage, but it allows you to do one more colorless than Skateboard would, and that... Oh, that alone is a great advantage, if I have to say so myself. I give this a super effective. What about you guys?
Super effective.
You know?
Effective.
Ooh, Cephalo went to the effective. Not as good as what?
Not as good as a Skateboard for the time being. Not as good as other tools that we have, maybe even Vitality Band, but I don't really see that quite catching off yet. There's going to be other tools that are more valuable right now. It will become more effective later on.
That's legit answer. With that, we got Air Balloon with 2 super effective, but 1 legit effective coming up. So that's great for Air Balloon. It's going to move on to the next one. Seth Vilo, please.
All right. This is Seth Vilo's Spice Jack here. And I'm going to bring you some hot, spicy memes for your deck building, because I'm not all about serious stuff. I like to have fun too. And what's fun for me, Seth Vilo, the most famous satanic evil person in Puckle, Mill. And have we got a Mill card for you? Centiscorch as your Mill Central, because I am evil. And it's a fire type, 130 HP, first attack. Flame Spread. Discard a card from the top of your opponent's deck for each fire energy attached to this Pokemon. The second attack is okay. It is fire and 3 colorless. Searing Flame 110. They're now burnt. I'll take this moment to remind you we have triple acceleration, and that fits perfectly right there.
Yes, I do.
But you know what else we've got? Welder. And you Welder this sucker. You can, you know, get it up to 3 cards discarded off the top of their deck first turn, 6 cards the second turn. Combine that with a couple of Belelba and Bryson Mans, and you are just yanking off a sixth of their deck every time.
Wow.
It can be fun. I haven't quite figured out how to make it work, but I think someone much smarter than me will, and I will be able to copy them when they figure it out. But it's a new way to actively mill things, which we don't really have in an attack anymore since Searing Horn with Houndoom EX. So this is kind of bringing that back. You have to stack energy. It's only got 130 HP, but you can do it, and it's going to be fun.
I hate mill decks so much. And this is just... I read this card, and I'm like, oh no. Like, I can see how people can make this be so annoying and so frustrating to play against that it doesn't make me any happy, which means that as a mill deck, it's doing its job.
It's doing its job.
Imagine all you can expect from a mill card.
It's imagine to have you your let opponent. A Pidgeotto control deck go to their bottom, and then you just whip one of these out with a welder, and then it's like, all right, discard your deck. You're done. Stupid birds.
It's like, it's what I don't want to see in the battlefield, and I fear this thing to no end. So, for those of you who love playing mill decks and are as evil and destructive as Sevilo, congratulations, sir.
Also, Professor's Research is a card, so you'll be milling through your own deck faster.
Wow. Yeah. What about you, Basket?
If someone's able to come up with, like, a really, like, viable way to do this, it will be the first time that, since I began playing, where mill was actually viable. And that's both terrifying and kind of cool.
Let's see how that goes. So, Seth Vilo, what's your rating on this one?
I would, even though I brought it up and even though I hyped it, I would still say it takes too much to get going. I would say effective, leaning, not very effective. But it's fun, and that's all that matters.
I agree. It's fun, and that's what it's a matter. I also give it a effective lean to not very effective, because mill decks in history has not done really well. So, in tournaments, I mean, official tournaments. So, let's see how this one goes. What about you, Basket?
Not very effective. Again, on the same page with you guys. I mean, it has potential, but I don't see it happening.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. I'm just going to say that, and then I'll errata that.
There you go. Okay, moving on. We got sent to Scorch for a 2 effective and 1 not very effective. As mill good decks go, if you're interested in this game style, this is the card you have to get for this set. Now, moving on to the next one, Basket. What's your third choice?
All right, so this is a 2-parter. We're going with Morpeko V and Morpeko V Max. So we'll start with Morpeko V. Obviously, it's electric. HP 170. All V cards are basic. So it has, for a colorless spark, 20 damage. This attack does 20 damage to one of your opponent's Pokemon. And then, again, don't apply weaknesses and resistances for the benched ones. And then for 2 lightning and a colorless, electric wheel, 150 damage. Discard an energy from this Pokemon, then switch this Pokemon with one of your benched Pokemon.
Oof.
Weakness to fighting times 2, resistance none, retreat cost 2.
Interesting.
So do we want to talk about this one and then jump to
Let's discuss VMAX and then we jump in.
Okay. So Morpeko VMAX, electric again, HP 300, stage 1.
Sorry, I have to laugh at
stage
that.
Stage 1 Dynamax evolves from Morpeko V. For 2 lightning and a colorless, it has super discharge, 180 damage. This attack does 20 damage to each of your opponent's Pokemon. Don't apply weaknesses and resistances for benched Pokemon.
Whew. So, let's talk about the power creep, or that chunky creep we were talking about. 300 HP.
And real quick, this is just funny to me. So the weaknesses are the same. It's fighting. Resistance the same. None. But its retreat cost actually goes down to 1. Not that it super matters, but that's just hilarious to me that it's just objectively in every aspect a better, like, it's an upgrade.
Yeah, it's totally an upgrade. Whenever it becomes more Pico or VMAX, it's definitely an upgrade. 180, it's a great number to hit. Still, although there are many things that outlive that now, thanks to V Pokemon and other things, but still, 180 is good, and 20 to each of your opponent Pokemon. All of us that play Tapu Koko, the special Tapu Koko, that promo Tapu Koko, that did 20 to each of the opponent's bench Pokemon, you know that this gets played. It is immensely powerful. It's great. I mean, 300 HP, that's a lot. What can knock out 300 in one go? Yes, fighting Pokemon can. But again, it's just way too much HP.
Sableye can do it.
Sableye could also do it if it has enough damage counters on it. But still, pretty powerful on that.
You're going to be able to say that for every single Pokemon that even comes out.
That is true. What about Sevilo? What do you think, though?
I think the way you play this is you play it with Lily's Clefairy doll, and you make a strafe loop that you've never been able to compare to before, because that electric wheel attack does 150, discard an energy, hello, recycle energy, and then you switch it with a bench Pokemon. So you're dropping Lily's Clefairy dolls back and forth, and they never take a prize while you're doing 150 damage at a time. And if you need to, you can slap a memory energy on this thing instead and slap VMAX on top of it if you need to just double its hit points for whatever reason and keep the loop going, because memory energy will allow you to use Electric Wheel as a VMAX. And and if you need spread, you do the spread. You can do 180. It's okay, especially with the lower Vs now, the lower actual V cards that are in that range. But that's the way you play more Pekko, is you loop it. You Electric Wheel loop it, and they never take a prize.
Wow. Excellent. So, Basket, what do you give this Pokemon?
I give it a super effective.
Super effective. I will have to agree with you. I do see this. Maybe I'm biased because I love Lightning Pokemon, and I really like the synergy this has. Not to remember, guys, Lightning still has a lot of support right now. So
that's what I was about to say.
Yeah, more Pekko will have a lot of support coming in. So, man, it's going to be hard to say that this won't move the needle at least a little bit. What about you? Super effective for me. Savito, what about you?
Super effective here, too.
Yeah, there you go. Super effective for more Pekko VMAX and more Pekko V, although we are reviewing them together, as you would say. Now, moving on to one of mine, I got my second one. I have to go back to one that was there, as they would say, turn one in Sun and Moon, and now it's back turn one in Sword and Shield, and that is Oranguru. Now, we all have great TCG memories about Oranguru. He had two great cards in the past format, in Sun and Moon format. And now we start Sword and Shield with another possibly solid card. It's up to you and us to decide. Now, this Oranguru is 120 HP, basic Pokemon as you know, and it has Primate Wisdom. Once you end your turn, you may switch a card from your hand with the top card of your deck. It has an attack that no one really cares about. A weakness to fighting, a resistance of none, which would cost of two. That ability, though, interesting. Really combo. We can add this to decks that are using, what was the grass? I keep forgetting the Sun and Moon characters' names. Mallow, which allowed you to put whatever two cards you wanted to your top of your deck. In comes Oranguru. There are many other cards that do this. But I want to know what you guys think. Let's start this time with Basket, good old friend. What do you think of Oranguru?
I think that, like you said, the combo with that card is like makes it a pretty good draw engine. Being able to grab what you want, put it on the top, throw down a Oranguru, and snatch it up. And you're not even losing a card in your hand. If you have a great hand, you're able to just pull that card on the next turn.
I like it. What about you, Seth?
Why, hello there, sweetie. My name is Professor Magnolia. I see that you've got a rare candy in your hand and that it's your last one. If you just put it on the top of your deck there, sweetie, and then play me down, you won't discard it away. You'll just draw it right back. That's good for you.
Magnolia, thank you so much. Oh, sorry, Professor Magnolia.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you so much for stopping by in this show and let us know your point of view. And
I let her take it from there. She seemed very, very confident in why this card is good. Yeah, also, Magcargo exists, so that's a thing.
Exactly, Magcargo is a thing. Overall, great card. I mean, if it's anything you can say about Oranguru in the TCGs, that he's been nailing that support. That support branch where he's supposed to be constantly in, he nails it every time, and each one of its card has a great set of attacks or abilities. So we can add this Oranguru to that. I will add it super effective on me. What about you, Basket?
I would say just like the card in a vacuum, I would still give it an effective because it's just another way to, you know, try and cycle your cards and try and get, you know, the best options you can. But yeah, I give it a super effective because of what it can combo with.
There you go. What about you, Seth?
I would tend to agree. I would say super effective leaning effective because I wouldn't see it in everything. I don't see this being played in every deck out there. But it's definitely incredibly good, especially with the specific support cards that are currently in rotation.
Awesome. Now, we got super effective here for Oranguru. Some leaning still with effective, but really up there. So good job, Oranguru. Let's go and move on. Savilo, what's your second choice?
All right. We've got the special energy of the set, Aurora Energy. And this one is incredibly cool. When you attach this card from your hand to a Pokemon, discard a card from your hand. When you play, while this card is in play, it provides every type of energy, but only one at a time. So, in effect, it's a rainbow energy, but instead of doing 10 damage to the Pokemon you drop it on, you have to discard a card in order to play it. Can you think of any particular Pokemon that would like to discard things from their hand and have every type of energy? Because I know of one, and their name starts with Mew and ends with 2.
That is definitely a card that will love to have things on the discard pile.
And just anything. Like, a lot of times that 10 damage puts you in the threshold of something, like, for instance, a Zacian V with ADP boosting it. If you did Rainbow Energy, that Mew Mewtwo is in range of that attack, but Aurora Energy keeps it 10 hit points away from that. That is the big draw to this. Not only the fact that you can discard things if you want to, like Rainbow, like Ultra Necrozma will love this, in addition to Giratina and things like that, comboed with Malamar, because they can use any energy type that they want to, and they really like that. But the big one is Mew Mewtwo right now, and yeah.
And you can have 4 of them in your deck, because it's not that Prism Star crap.
Yeah.
So you get 4 cards in your hand that are one of whatever energy you want. Yep.
And you can also have Rainbow Energy, which is still in rotation, so you have 8 of anything that you want.
It's just, it's awesome, because I really like when you're looking through cards and you're like, okay, so I have, you know, I have a water deck. I need to find the best supporters and the best cards that'll hit, you know, this specific thing that are colorless or something like that, so that you can fit them into your water deck and you can, you know, hit a specific number or do a specific thing or whatever you're trying to do. Now you don't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's really not, like, much of a downside.
Yeah, I mean, you guys said it all. I've not much to add. Aurora Energy, Rainbow Energy, you saw a lot of play, even though it took damage. And this will see even more play, because it's easier to discard a hand card from your hand that is to give your Pokemon 10 damage. So, super effective, right? Across the board?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There we go. Super effective for Aurora Energy. Excellent energy to add. Honestly, I really didn't think that we're going to have something better than Rainbow Energy, but here it is. Something that is actually better than Rainbow Energy. So, moving on to the next one. Basket, what's your second choice?
So, for my last card, we've got Hyper Potion. Trainer card. Item. Discard 2 energy from one of your Pokemon. If you do that, heal 120 damage from that Pokemon. Why did I choose this? Because it's crap. Because I'm so upset with the HP creep.
Oh my god.
Too many HPs on this MFN plane. It's absurd. And now you can just heal 120 damage from that Pokemon. Oh, did you finally whittle that giant fatty Pokemon down to the next turn? You can take it out. Oh, whoa. Bam. 120 damage taken away. Sorry, guy. You lose. Or you just get another 5 turns of BS.
I feel your definite frustration there. 120 is a lot of HP, but discarding 2 energy is also kind of like a hard payment for it. Because you might be healing your Pokemon for 220, but you might not be able to attack on that turn.
It is, but most deck engines, especially the ones we've been talking about today.
Yeah, that's true.
And a lot, you can grab those energy.
Yeah,
back.
On a metal it's or like a water deck, we already established that that might actually not be that much of a big deal.
Yeah, and where do you find the fattiest of fatties?
In steel and water.
Water.
That is true. What about you, Seth?
Not very effective, quite honestly. Even with it, that energy cost is too much for too little. Mm-hmm. Malo and Lana does the same thing without discarding energy, and it allows you to switch out of the active. So right now, not very effective. In the future, maybe, but right now,
there you go. Basket, what's your say on this?
All right, so to be clear, I did not pick this card because I thought it was going to be effective.
I
picked this card because he just wanted to complain about it.
We do register the salt when you started talking.
Hey, thick.
Okay, good, good, good. Okay, so that being said, not very effective, but I just know somewhere on PTCGO this is going to happen to me, and I'm not going to like it, and it's going to be just real frustrating. So thanks, Pokemon.
There you go. Hyper Potion for not very effective. We're going to move on to the next one, and that is my first choice, and that was a cute one, Cincino. I am super happy with this card. As you guys know, in the history of the TCG cast, I'm always a fan of cheap and fun cards, and Cincino definitely hits both those points. It's a non-GX, non-V, non-EX card that has only HP 90, which for a stage 1, we know it's kind of like meh, but its ability is kind of incredible. Make do once in your turn. Before you attack, you may discard a card from your hand. If you do, draw 2 cards. Do I have to say anything else? Its attack, it has an attack, energy assist for the damage for 1 colorless. Attach a basic energy from your discard pile to one of your bench Pokemon. Boom. It does Yveltal, but with any energy, not just dark, as long as it's basic, for any Pokemon for 1 colorless. For 10 more damage than what Yveltal in Sun and Moon used to do. And Yveltal saw a whole ton of play. Then you have the weakness to fighting, the resistance to none, and the retreat cost of 1. I can't see a negative in this card. I don't even see a negative where you wouldn't have this in every deck. It allows you to draw upon 2 cards whenever you need to by discarding just 1. And then it allows you to set up your Pokemon from the energy in your discard pile. It is an amazing card. At least that's what I think. What about you, Cephilo?
It's great support. But I will say this till the even though I'm playing it, I'm a little bit of a hypocrite. I will say this: it is not Zoroark GX.
Okay, not well. That's a fair. That's a fair
comparison.
Even though it has
trade, basically, it is not Zoroark because Zoroark was the complete package. Zoroark was your primary attacker in a lot of decks, as well as the support. So this is only support, basically, unless
which
you're
is why
desperate.
I compared it to Yveltal instead of Zoroark. Yeah.
A lot of decks are being built with this as maybe a 2-2 line, or mill decks are actually starting to use this instead of Pidgeotto or things because it allows you to go through your deck a little bit faster and get to that optimized end game state. So get ready to see mill Chino. Or just it as a 2-2 in a lot of decks.
What about your basket?
Yeah, it's effective for me. It's a really good ability. I can see situations where I want, like, you know, I'm using some sort of type in my deck build where I need that kind of support, that kind of draw, and that's going to help out a lot.
There you go. Well, with that being said, I'm going to give Cincino a super effective. What about you, Seth?
Also super effective from here.
And what about you, Basket? Oh, you already mentioned effective. So we have 2 super effective. 1 effective for good old Cincino. I suspect we're going to see this little guy for a long time. Seth! No, wait, you already covered all your cards, right?
That's all my cards.
And Basket, you covered all your cards as well, right? And that means that's the end. Now comes the real question. Sword and Shield, the set as a whole. How do we rate it? Cephilo, I turn to you because honestly, you are in touch a lot more right now with the competitive community. What is this set ranking on?
To be clear, by ranking, are you asking for the effective, super effective kind of thing? Or are you asking for like a 1 out of 10?
A 1 out of 10. So by the end of, after we do individual cards and super effective, effective, or not very effective, but when it comes to the set at the end, since obviously I feel that super effective and effective is not big enough to take the whole set, it's a 1 out of 10 thing.
Mm-hmm. For the biggest thing that comes out of this set right now is not really the VMAX, is not really the funky new mechanic that we've got. It's the support and the cards that we get that way, namely the big 3, Professor's Research, Marnie, and Quick Ball. And those by themselves bring it up to, like, I would say it's a solidly strong 7, ooh, if you ask me. Probably okay. Not a 10. There's definitely better sets. Guardians Rising comes to mind.
Yeah, I think we've never given a 10 to a set in this show yet.
Yeah,
probably one day not. We might get there, but not yet.
There's a whole lot of fluff, and the Pokemon are exciting, but they're not incredibly exciting. They're right. Good, but we're just learning the new V mechanic.
This is usually the first set of a new format, and it's yep. always going to be not the best it could be. You will mm-hmm. see that 2 or 3 sets in.
Yeah, so I would give it a solid 7.
There you go, basket.
I give it an 8.5. Ooh, nice. I'm doing that because it's so refreshing every single time I see a set that comes out with great trainers and great Pokemon, and I don't feel like it's a dud. And I feel like this one is, like, it covers all the bases. You've got good, oh man, what would you call it? Like,
non-2 prize?
VMAX, V, like, yeah, there we go. Thank you. I was going to struggle with that one for a little
single
while.
Prize. Just go you've with single prize.
Yeah, we've got some good single prize cards here. We've got really cool cards with the new mechanic, and we've got some really good supporter cards. So I think across the board, it hits really well by adding a couple of each type of card that's in the TCG that can actually help out cards that are currently there or help out other cards in this set. And I really like that. I like it when sets can come in and shake up the meta a bit, and this is one that can.
I mean, yeah, no, this one's not only aiming to shake up the meta, it's aiming to set the meta. With the whole rule change with the supporter not being able to be used on turn 1, and on top of that, a whole new version of GX, EX that we have never seen in the version of V cards, and its VMAX versions of cards, which kind of reminisce us to the Mega Evolution back in X and Y. This set, it means business. It's coming to set, like, this is the new meta. This is what we're following, not just this year. This year, we still are following the rules from the past because we still have GX Pokemon. But there is going to be a point where this is going to be the beginning set for the rest of the format, and those changes are going to be big. That being said, like Seth Vilo said, there is a lot of fluff in this deck. There's a lot of cards that are like, why do we have this, right? However, the competitive cards that it does include, notwithstanding its supports or trainers, are going to be changing the meta a lot. After I said all that garble, I am giving the set a 7.5 as well. 7.5. Why? Because of what you guys both said. It is just a great new start. It does still suffer from the fact that many of its cards is kind of useless. But the one of the cards that they have and the rule change that it brings really are setting an exciting new format for the series. So that's what we have, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed our discussions here of the Sword and Shield set coming on in February 7th, but you are already should be playing that thanks to the pre-releases. With that being said, guys, this is the end of the episode. And if you like what you hear, as you know, Puckle has lots of shows. We got the Battlecast, we got the TCG Cast, and the main show, the Puckle Podcast, which is every Monday with Thatch, our fearless leader. Alongside with that, if you want to be part of a constant and living community, please join the Puckle community at Discord. You will find the instructions to get there right in the description bar of this podcast, as well as every other podcast that we throw out. Please, if you need someone to trade, chat, battle, or anything Pokemon related, you will find it at the Puckle Discord with great people and a great family-oriented place. So do that. But if you have the extra cash and you want to be able to donate to us, please do so through Patreon. Every single cent donated to us goes straight back to you guys in the form of new prizes, better organization, and better equipment. So please go ahead and join us. Not to mention that because you're a patron, you are already gaining additional perks for being a Patreon of Puckle, which includes extra episodes, extra special recordings that we do for you guys. So stay tuned for that. That being said, thank you so much for being here. Basket, love you, my friend. Thank you so much for being here today.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you. And Savilo, you are the man. Thank you for bringing your enthusiasm and your knowledge to the show.
I try my darndest.
And you do succeed in that. And guys, for those of you listening at home, you can already listen to the guitar in the background. And it's closing time. And with that, catch you on the flip-flop.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.